It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well, producer number 7. How you doing, Jason? You good?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I am good. Listen, Mondays during football season, it has been customary here for not only this year, but years and years and years and years that we do guessing lines for the upcoming week in the National Football League. And we do that with Chrissy Andrews. Chrissy cannot be with us this morning because he is not feeling well. Chrissy tested positive for the coronavirus late last week. So he's not up to being here for 2 hours. I spoke to Chris on Saturday. I spoke to him yesterday. Saturday, he was well-rested when I spoke to him, so he sounded good. Yesterday, he was super tired. That's the biggest symptom. He says there's other symptoms, but that's the biggest symptom, is just being exhausted all the time. But he's quarantined in his bedroom at home, and he's just trying to get better. So maybe I can bring him some matzo ball soup later or tomorrow, whichever day I can do so, and just anything we can help. So if you want to send Chrissy well wishes, please do so on Twitter, because obviously that will make him feel better. So we're not going to do the typical guessing lines today. Jason and I will just bat these around. Jason, you'll just serve up the game. We'll talk about the games yesterday, but we're not going to guess lines. You'll just tell me what the line is. I'll tell you what my guess. We won't even get into the guess. You'll just say what the line is on these games, and I'll react to them. And that's what we'll do today. We'll also have visits from Jason Weingarten later on the show to talk a little political betting with us, but obviously the World Series. Want to talk about the fact that we're going to a Game 6 tomorrow. I didn't think we'd be talking about baseball this week. Did not think so, but we're here. And so I'll give my take on it. Jason will react. And then Todd Wishnev will join us for one segment here during the show as well to give some not grievances, but just some things that he took note of here this past weekend. Jason, with that as a backdrop, let's pay tribute to Chrissy. This is okay. Well, we do have Paul. Oh, shortly we will. Okay, so we'll have Paul shortly here. So Paul Sporer will join us here to start things out. Then we'll segue into football. And again, we won't guess lines.
We might need to guess like one line.
Well, we're not going to guess anything. You're just going to tell me what the Thursday game is and the reaction. We'll talk about the games from yesterday. So what's the Thursday night game this coming week?
Falcons Panthers.
And what's the line on that? Because we're not going to guess them.
That's right. Panthers minus -3, even money.
Panthers minus -3, even money. Okay, yesterday, Atlanta. Let's start there. My goodness. In a day, I will just say this. The NFL yesterday, when we had those three games ending at the same time in the early slot, was just awesome. But all of these games, not all of them, but most of these games are complete plinko at the end. Complete plinko. And it gets back to the old Roxy Roxborough comment from years ago when he said, because nobody beats the NFL, nobody. And what he meant by that is, anybody who thinks that it's them beating this to any degree of time, good for them. But you're not beating it for your lifetime. Because really, think about how many of these games came down to just complete coin flips yesterday. So Atlanta yesterday, Todd Gurley, first and goal. I believe it was the 9-yard line. Detroit with no timeouts left. Atlanta's down 16-14. Instead of bringing the clock down to 3 seconds to take a chip shot field goal to win, Gurley to the house. He remembers a split second too late that he should go down, and by accident crosses the plane to put Atlanta up 20-16. Atlanta again in this game, a 98% win probability. They had a 99% earlier this year against Dallas, the famous watermelon onside kick. They had 98% win probability against the Bears. They had 98% yesterday. But Gurley just remembers that the last split second too late, he crosses the plane, so it's 20-16. They do get the 2-point conversion. It's 22-16 at that point. Now remember, the day before in the Penn State Indiana game, Devin Ford of Penn State does pretty much the exact same thing. 14-yard touchdown run for Penn State. They were up 21-20 with less than 2 minutes left. They force a turnover on downs deep in Indiana territory, and with the Hoosiers down to one timeout, Nittany Lions could have used up most or all the clock, but Ford untouched to the end zone, and he realizes this mistake a split second too late, fell in for a touchdown at 28-20 lead. We know the rest. By the way, it's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. It is a numbers game on a Monday, not your typical Monday here during football season on a numbers game at the Sports Betting Network, VSIN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, but still going through all the NFL action yesterday. We'll talk some baseball as well with both Paul Spohr and Jason Weingarten. Todd Wishnev will be here as well. So you know the rest of that Penn State-Indiana game. Indiana goes 75 yards. They score with 22 seconds left. They convert the two-point conversion on a Penix run. Then they win it in overtime on a very disputed two-point conversion, but nonetheless, both Penn State and the Atlanta Falcons do the exact same thing. And Todd Gurley was the guy who figured out that he should fall down last year when he was with the Rams. Was that last year or the year before? I can't even remember. So two-point conversion later, it's 22-16 Falcons. 1 minute, 4 seconds left. You know what happens. Matt Stafford, engineers an eight-play, 75-yard drive, avoids a runoff in the process that would have beaten the Lions. And then with no time on the clock, he hits T.J. Hockenson in the end zone. Tie game. Penalty on Detroit, so it's a 48-yard point after touchdown. Prater sinks it anyway. Ball game. Atlanta loses to Detroit outright. So if you're an Atlanta bettor, I didn't have Atlanta on a bet, but I had them in the contest. You go from having, how can I put this, having no business winning to having, having no business losing to having no business winning. Wait, I'm all confused. Basically, it goes back and forth, though, right? Because you shouldn't have lost, but you shouldn't have won in the first place. So everything, you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to totally win this game. Oh, he got into the end zone. I may lose. And then you do lose. But it's just back and forth. Is that skill? If I had Atlanta, was I wrong? If you had Detroit, were you right? That's just example number one, the NFL yesterday. Again, don't kid yourself. I said to Todd Wishnev yesterday via text, I go, wait, you think this is skill betting the NFL against the spread? Most of these aren't. Yeah, there's a percentage of games that are. But yesterday was the highlight of, yeah, most of these have nothing to do with anything. Atlanta's at Carolina. You said Carolina was a three-point favorite. I see some 2.5s in a lot of places, too, with extra juice on Carolina. Carolina yesterday, Teddy Bridgewater, 23 of 28 for 254, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. By the way, Matt Ryan in that game against Detroit, 31 of 42 for 338, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Gurley was 23 of 63 with a two touchdowns, one of which he shouldn't have gotten and didn't want, but recognized it the split second too late. Julio, 8 for 97. Carolina in their game, and they lose yesterday to New Orleans by 3. Carolina's Teddy Bridgewater yesterday on the stat sheet, 23 of 28 for 254, two touchdowns, no picks, and a sack. DJ Moore, 4 catches for 93, two touchdowns, but only 37 yards rushing for Carolina. And Teddy Bridgewater, 3rd and 11 at the New Orleans 39, down 27-24, which was the eventual final score. The play before the two-minute warning, Teddy Bear takes an 8-yard sack. Unforgivable. Unforgivable. Then Joey Sly, remember that sack, 8-yard sack. Joey Sly then lines up for a 65-yard field goal attempt, which would be, if he connects, the longest field goal in NFL history. It goes 63 yards right down the middle. Saints win it 27-24 after they secure a first down. So Carolina minus 3 at home, is that what you said, against Atlanta? Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, Carolina minus 3. Yeah.
And by the way, I don't see any minus 2.5s. I had to refresh. It's all minus 3s. All right.
Yeah, we've got Paul.
That's Thursday Night Football. We'll go into some of the other gaffes and some of the other ridiculous things that had yesterday in the NFL, most of which was Plinko. Let's talk baseball here for a second. Paul Spohr is with us from Fangraphs. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Gil. How's it going?
It's going very well. It's a little different kind of morning here, but usually we don't do this on a Monday, talk a little baseball. But I didn't think we were going to talk baseball at all this week, to be honest with you. Dodgers lead the best of 7 World Series 3-2. They do so with a 4-2 win yesterday that comes after what can only be described as one of the wackiest, my word, games in recent Major League Baseball World Series history, Game 4, where the Rays win on an unbelievable play late in that game, to actually win it, not late, but the final play, to just take victory from the jaws of defeat. And you know what my take has been on all of this, Paul. It's that the Dodgers are way better than the Rays and are almost trying to do it with style points. I know it is not a popular opinion, but to me, it's like they are just making this more. Yesterday, and people are going to say Davey Roberts managed it great yesterday. Oh, he took out Kershaw at the right time, and May came in. It was great. But they still ended up with a situation where Gonzalez was pitching to Arozarena with two men on, up just two runs. One swing of the bat, and they're done. Give me your take on Davey.
There's been some issues for sure. And I think there were some issues in game four that people would be questioning. I guess I would say, though, your firm belief is that the Rays are much worse.
I don't know about much worse. That's the big.
Okay. Well, yeah. You certainly feel like the Dodgers are.
Yes, I do.
Definitively better.
I do.
At what would it take for you to realize that that's probably not true?
Well, what it would take, you know what it would take, what I would like to say, how about the Dodgers just play this normally? Like, how about Urias just starts game six and they play it out? Like,
okay. I don't think that guarantees them anything. I think where we're really at is the Dodgers are very, very good. I have nothing to suggest that they're not, but I think that the Rays are just a bit better than you're letting on. And I think it's more that than anything else. That's kind of where I'm at. Because I think you're feeling like when the Dodgers win, the Dodgers are winning. When the Rays are winning, the Dodgers are losing.
That is not an incorrect statement. Well, tell me what you said, though, about Davey yesterday. You said if it didn't work out for Davey, though, his job is done.
He's gone. He's absolutely gone.
All right, that's kind of what I'm getting at, though.
Sure, sure. I mean, I don't know what he would be doing that differently, though. I guess is where I'm at, though, as far as the deployment of some of these pitchers. I mean, there's some decisions that you can make, like I hear you on the Victor Gonzalez thing, but I don't know that I'm looking at too much of what he's doing, saying I would do this differently, this differently, this differently, this differently. I mean, there's a few things, but all in all, I don't know that he's gonna get fired because they've come so close so many times that I think he would just have to be the scapegoat at some point. And I know we've been saying this a few years because people keep pushing back on me when I say like, no, that we said that last year, we said that the year before. It would guarantee happen. It would guarantee happen. It'd be three World Series losses in 4 years and a difficult LDS loss. There's just no way that he would survive this. So I definitely think that he's fighting for his job, but he has a 3-2 lead. So
he has a 3-2 lead, baby.
He can breathe easy breathe easier, not easy.
Let me just ask you about game four real quick. They end up with Baez in there for what seemed like an inordinately long amount of time where everybody who had a Dodgers ticket, was a Dodgers fan, is like, he's still in there? And then it's Kenley. And everybody knew how that was going to go. Look, he got two free strikes to Phillips at the end and still couldn't retire him. I think it was a 3-0 count. It should have been a 3-0 count. So there was that. And then, you know, here we are, game six. It's Snell against Gonsolin, and the Dodgers are minus 138 favorites. Would you bet on the Dodgers in this game?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I think Snell is markedly better. Yeah. I mean, even if you're on the Dodgers, I don't think you should necessarily go for them here. I'd probably just ride it out and, you know, keep the series price stuff that you already have and wait to see if there's a game seven. But I don't know that the minus 138 is worth going for with the one inning of Gonsolin and then the mishmash. Cause you know, he's not going to go long. He can. I mean, I guess that's an area where I would definitely disagree with Roberts, is the deployment of Gonsolin. I really liked Gonsolin this year, so maybe I'm overrating him, but I thought he was somebody who can easily at least go like three. And I know that's not even, you know, that's not even like a huge start. Like that's barely anything in past playoff history. But in today's game, it's something when you have a bullpen game and you let the first guy go three innings. I think Gonsolin can do that. And I know he's given up some first inning runs, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't settle in and still be able to get you three, four more after that, to be honest. So, yeah. But no, I would not go for them in this particular game.
Yeah. And this, you made it sound like I think the Rays are terrible at baseball. I think they're great. I think they're great. I do. I especially love their starting pitching, obviously, right? With Snell and Glasnow, and Morton. But I guess I keep focused on the Dodgers, and I'll say this one last time, which is I can't ever remember. Like, I think we've gotten desensitized, and I don't know when this kind of happened, But we got desensitized that there's a team as good as the Dodgers that in a game seven in the National League Championship Series went with the fakakta pitching mishmash. No. You know, it's just
I mean, that's where the game's at, though.
Yeah. And
You know, but again, that's what I'm saying. Gonsolin was only allowed to get one. And, you know, they're just going with these one inning stints with guys who I think can go more, too. So that's the part that kind of gets me is they're almost wasting some of these guys at times, and not just Dave Roberts. Sometimes you see some of the fourth, fifth starter. I mean, I don't even want to say fourth, fifth starter types, because I think Gonsolin is like a firm mid rotation type of guy. But guys who live at the back end of their rotation are being treated worse than I think they should be with these muted outings.
I'm just happy when Fakakta gets on the show, Paulie. I'll be honest with you.
You did a great job with it, too. By the way,
I'm burying the headline. You shaved the mustache? What happened?
I was wondering if you would say that.
Yeah.
So I had a big MLB The Show community tournament announcing gig yesterday, and I decided to go ahead and shave it. Yeah.
You're like, I got a gig. I better take this thing off quick.
Let me be honest. I wasn't going to do it. My girlfriend suggested it, so I did it.
How does that apply, Paul? You know, you might want to get rid of it. All right, so
it was out of nowhere. Yeah. And I was like, okay, fine.
Listen, I'm with you on game six. I don't know that I could make a straight bet on the Dodgers in that game, but it will be Buehler in game seven for the Dodgers, which is the guy you want to have. And at that point, it's just all out. Let's see how far he can go, maybe go the distance.
Yep.
So it's nice to have a 3-2 lead if you're a Dodgers backer, a Dodgers fan. Who's the MVP right at this moment for both teams, let's say?
You already know who the MVP is on the Rays side. Actually, it might not be. I was advocating for Brandon Lau, and he does have three homers, but that's quite literally all he's done. So I don't know that he would actually get it. I think Kiermaier or Rosarena, who's having another great series, although one of his homers was pretty junk. It was pretty garbage time homer when it was like it made it 6-2 or something. So I'm going to go Kiermaier right now on the Rays. As far as the Dodgers go, boy, I wonder if it's not a pitcher. You know, I love what Justin Turner's been able to do. He's been in the mix throughout. Is it maybe Kershaw?
Not Seager?
I guess it could be Seager. I was kind of looking at the stats. Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't realize he was that good. 14-32. My goodness. Okay. Yeah. It would have to be Seager.
My MVP tickets on Seager for the season is going to end up being the worst beat ever, because he's going to end up with the National League Championship Series MVP, yep. MVP trophy, and maybe the World Series. It'll just have been timed wrong.
I liked him as an NL MVP candidate. I was really big on his season this year. Back in February, before the world completely changed and we thought we were getting a 6-month season, I loved Corey Seager. So I feel validated too. Like you said, timing just kind of messed up there, because you're going to get some postseason MVPs, but not an in-season one. Not that he wasn't great, but Freddie Freeman's definitely taking that.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so just to clarify, you like the Rays. You would make the bet on the Rays in game six, but you're not going to take an adjusted series price on the Rays, would you?
No, I'm not touching the adjusted series on either side. I'll go with Snell at the +128 that we're showing here. Obviously, you can shop around, probably get a little bit better, and wait for game seven.
Okay. Paulie, somehow I think I'm going to be talking to you again, perhaps tomorrow. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it, Gil. Take care.
Take care. Paul Sporer, everybody, from Fangraphs at Sporer. And, of course, the host of the Sleeper and the Bust podcast. As well. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So we talked about the Thursday night game in the National Football League. Carolina favored in this one by 3 over Atlanta. I got no problem with that. But again, the shenanigans yesterday with Todd Gurley not going down, just like Penn State and Devin Ford not going down. Definitely one of the headlines of football this past weekend. How about a Sunday morning game before we get out of here, Jason?
All right. The Colts are favored over the Lions, -3, even money. Lions are +3, -120.
All right, and the Colts coming off the bye, as we just talked about the Lions in that game against the Falcons. Stafford, 25 of 36 for 340, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Kenny Golladay, 6 catches for 114. 66-64. Those were the rushing stats in that game between the Falcons and the Lions. No running games to speak of whatsoever. What did you say the line was on this?
Colts -3, even money.
Colts -3, even money. Is that widespread?
That's BetMGM.
BetMGM.
These are all BetMGM.
These are all BetMGM. In the absence of Chrissy, we are quoting the BetMGM line today. And again, not guessing lines. For those who missed it earlier, Chrissy unable to be with us today. So we're doing a bastardized version of the show, not guessing as we normally do, but we'll just tell you what it is and we'll talk about yesterday's games. I got no problem with that. But Detroit, could it be that consensus-wise, the Detroit Lions are at 3-3, a vastly underrated football team? What do you think?
Well, they could be easily 4-2. Yeah, I do feel they're underrated. I mean,
well, they could have also lost yesterday just as easily. So they could have won that Bears game too.
True, and they're in a tough division. I mean, they're in third in that division. So we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. They always disappoint, so it would surprise me if they didn't this year.
Teams like the Lions at 3-3, teams like the Dolphins at 3-3, all with better records than the New England Patriots. We'll get into that because a whole bunch of new benchmarks set by the Patriots, and not the ones you want to set. And what does it mean about Bill Belichick historically? We start to put him in a different lens now, or through a different lens, look at him. We'll get to all these games. We'll talk about yesterday's. Not your average guessing lines today, right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database. The moment you sponsor a job, get started at Indeed.com/credit. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here. Doesn't feel right not having Chris here.
Nope.
I spend every Monday morning in the falls talking to my buddy. Not this morning, but we hope he feels better very quickly. Hope he gets some rest. This is Circa Survivor from this week. There were 353 entries heading into this week. You know how many are left right now? 352. Oh, my God. One wrong. The Rams, there are 7 people on the Rams tonight, so I guess 7 more could possibly be eliminated. But one on the Patriots. Everybody else was a winner. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's funny. Were they really even? I guess they were sweats. The Saints was a sweat. The Eagles was definitely a sweat. Were the Bills and Chargers really sweats?
Nope.
The Bills was about...
Chargers was a little bit.
A little bit. Chargers were down late.
Yeah.
The Bills was the least sweat-filled one-score win you could ever have in your life.
Yeah, but they didn't cover the spread, but for this
purpose, right.
Yeah.
For this purpose, yeah. Well, I mean, look, the Jets, all it took was one fluke play and they could have lost, but the Jets had 4 total yards in the second half. What's next?
Next is the... Patriots-Bills.
Patriots-Bills.
And the Bills are favored by 4 points.
Yeah, for those who missed it, we're not doing guessing lines today. We're just going to go through it and react. Bills are by 4 only, huh?
Bills by 4.
Interesting.
BetMGM.
For the New England Patriots, they get crushed, and I do mean crushed, by San Francisco yesterday, 33-6. Worst start for the Patriots since the year 2000. Their first 3-game losing streak since the year 2002. It's the worst home loss for Bill Belichick as Patriots head coach ever. 27 points. They were outgained by the Niners by 242 yards in the first half, the worst first half differential under Bill Belichick. Can we just say that Bill Belichick's Mount Rushmore status, while still in stone, can we just say, and this is what I've been saying for decades, he ain't Joe Gibbs.
Bill Belichick, GM, is really hurting Bill Belichick as a coach.
Okay, but he's had the benefit of Tom Brady all these years, and he's getting a taste of what it's like not to have Tom Brady. Cam Newton, 9 of 15 for 98, no touchdowns, 3 picks, sacked once. Stidham came in relief, 6 of 10 for 64, no touchdowns, 1 pick, 1 sack. The Patriots were 1 of 6 on third downs. They only had 6... 1 of 6 on third downs, 241 total yards, 4 turnovers. They were outpossessed by San Francisco 38 minutes and 23 seconds to 21-37. And for those who are like, what are you talking about? Come on. He's still Bill Belichick. I'm not saying he's not one of the greatest. But could he have won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon and Doug Williams and Joe Theismann and three different kinds of offenses?
Nope.
And I get it. He's a defensive coach. Semantics right now. But I'm just saying, Let's kind of rearrange our Mount Rushmore, if you will. Buffalo Bills, as I mentioned yesterday, they do beat the Jets, and they beat them 18-10. And again, for those of us who had the Bills in Survivor, was the least sweat-filled one-score game ever in Survivor history. Yeah, I mean, it's always nervous when it's one score because any, you know, PI, flag, you know, anything can happen. But the Jets, 4 total yards in the second half. Josh Allen, 30 of 43 for 307. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. 11 carries for 61. I'll say this again about the Bills. Their best play is Josh Allen running. So come playoff time, man, are they going to be a fun fade. Beasley, 11 for 112. The Bills had 11 penalties for 106. The Jets outgained Buffalo 104 to 48 in the first quarter. And from that point forward, actually bled into the second quarter a little bit, it was all Bills. Every time you looked up, the Jets were like 4th and 10 again, 4th and 13. Bills win at 18-10. Bills are 5-2. And again, if you're the Miami Dolphins and you're like, well, really we're going to 2 now? We could have this. The Bills aren't very good, but Bills get it done 18-10. And you say it's only 4 points in that game?
The line is Bills minus 4.
It's an interesting line to me because everything I've just said about both these teams, New England looks terrible. They look uninspired. But Buffalo is not really multidimensional in offense. So you would think a team like a defense coached by Belichick could absolutely neuter that kind of offense. So I don't hate the minus 4. My instinct would be that it would be higher, but I don't hate the minus 4 for all those reasons. But that is a big early season, if we can still call the first half of the season early season, AFC East game, with the Dolphins, of course, in the mix as well.
I definitely think it's time to look into fading the Patriots.
By the way, I faded them as one of my only 3 bets. I told you, my only 3 pre-flop bets this year were Patriots under season wins because of all those opt-outs. That's looking great. And then Miami over season win totals, Miami to win the division because I like the number at 11-1. We'll come back, not guessing lines exactly, but going through the lines and seeing if we can find some value. Week 8 in the NFL. Todd Wishnev, Jason Weingarten to come as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's a big week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. Watch Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern. A Numbers Game with me, Gil Alexander, at 10 a.m. The Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi, my guys in the desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free, 24-7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. It's the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. We get tweets, everybody wishing Chrissy well, and that's the main thing. That's the main thing with all these. of the ones that were not all wishing Chrissy well, because the outpouring of support is wonderful. Love seeing that. New York mess. I finally started watching Beeson. Did Spore miss the school bus this morning? Geez, my dog looks older. Spore chimes in. I just turned 39. And then let's say Michelle Belanger. Don't forget the two survivor entries that could not be bothered to get their entries in. The people that could not be bothered to get their entries in Survivor prior to the deadline. So three gone so far this week. You're right, Michelle. I didn't count them up. 351 out of 353 total. So it's down to 350 from 353. Good point. And then there's other people who just are a little ornery this morning. This is Andy, Jason. Gil says you're under the weather, Chrissy, and then gives everyone the idea to ding your phone at 7 a.m. to wake you up. What an ass. Stay good, Chris. Yeah, it's terrible. Because you know his phone is dinging, and you know he's not up at this hour. Here's MAGA, the silent 88%, Jason. Hey, you're not guessing the lines. We get it. You don't have to keep repeating it. That's from MAGA, the silent 88%. I don't think he gets that people tune in at different times.
It's true.
Yeah. Let's see. Cranepool, come on, Gil. You're not on the bash Bill Belichick bandwagon, are you? Way too early to fade Bill Belichick. No, I'm just trying to say... On the Mount Rushmore, let's just rearrange the order of Mount Rushmore. That was Jason who said he was baiting him. And then on and on and on and on and on about Chrissy. These are wonderful. Hope you feel better soon. Looking forward to getting you back for guessing lines. Absolutely. Doesn't feel right to do a Monday morning without Chrissy. And there's, by the way, that one times 20.
There's a little bit of breaking news. Odell Beckham out for the season.
Out for the season. When he tried to make a tackle yesterday, got hurt. Was out for the rest of the game, done for the year.
According to Odell, yes.
According to Odell, he's out for the year. I'll tell you what was interesting, though, is that watching that game, it is so clear that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback without him around. And I don't mean that they're not a better, more talented team with Odell not on the field, because clearly he's a super-duper talented player. But Baker Mayfield appears to be unburdened when he's not on the field in a way that he's like, I don't have to feed this guy the ball all the time. I don't have to constantly be worried about getting him the ball. Baker Mayfield yesterday, we'll get to the Browns, but was sensational just letting the game come to him yesterday.
It's a Schefter tweet that Odell Beckham Jr. texted Josina Anderson that he tore his ACL and season is over.
Oh, it's too bad for Odell.
It is.
Tore his ACL. His second major injury of his career.
It's what you get for trying.
Boy, oh boy. It's rough. So next game?
Next game, Packers minus 7 over the Vikings.
Packers minus 7 over the Vikings. Packers are at home, I would assume. Rodgers yesterday, 23 of 34 for 283, 4 touchdowns, no picks, was not sacked. Devontae, 13 for 196 and 2 touchdowns. My goodness. Filling up a stat sheet as the Packers crush Houston 35-20. I don't dislike that line. Minus 7 sounds about right. The one thing about this, which we highlighted last week when we showed the BetMGM grid, Jason, Green Bay, the number one picked team in every one of BetMGM's jurisdictions.
Sure, I didn't think about that. Yeah, big winner.
Easy peasy, 35-20 win. They easily cover the 3-point spread. Let's do another one here.
All right, we have the Titans minus 5.5 over Cincinnati.
Titans minus 5.5, you said?
Correct.
No man's land over Cincinnati, at Cincinnati. Gostkowski misses a 45-yard field goal with 14 seconds left yesterday to clinch it for Pittsburgh. Tannehill was 18 of 30 for 220, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Tannehill's intentional grounding with 55 seconds left and the subsequent 10-second runoff ended up setting up the longer kick for Gostkowski. It was still 45, still makeable, but it was longer than it might have been. Derrick Henry, the Steelers held him to 20 for 75 and a touchdown. A.J. Brown, 6 for 153 and a touchdown. When he catches it, the man goes to the house. Plus 3 in turnovers versus Pittsburgh. The Titans were plus 3, lost 27-24. They were outpossessed by Pittsburgh 36-37 to 23 minutes and 23 seconds. The first Pittsburgh Steeler drive of the game yesterday took 9 minutes and 18 seconds. They were 4 for 4 on third down. They went 100 yards when you factor in penalties. First quarter time of possession was 13-39 for Pittsburgh, 121 for Tennessee. There was one Tennessee three and out. In fact, in total yards in the first quarter, it was 130-1 in favor of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was 6 of 6 on third downs. With 12-16 left in the second quarter, and Pittsburgh up 14-0, it was 11 first downs to nothing, 161 total yards to one. And Pittsburgh was 7 of 7 on third downs by that point. 16-23 to 121 in time of possession. So basically, Pittsburgh just absolutely destroyed them the first quarter and change. Utter, complete domination. Pittsburgh matriculating the ball down the field deliberately. And then Tennessee somehow got back in it late, a lot of it which will go under, you know, will get swept under the carpet, but Big Ben's decision at the end of the first half to just heave the ball up for grabs instead of settling for a field goal to add three. Also, at last Pittsburgh drive of the game, threw a pick in the back of the end zone. I had more problem with the first half one, to be honest with you, because the late one would have only put him up six. But to just squander a possession late in the first half seemed very strange. But the Steelers are now the only undefeated team in football. We'll get to the Seahawks later. 6-0. Titans 5-1. Both of these teams comported themselves well in the end. Cincinnati, we've said this all year, they're going to be a great cover team. They do it again, but they don't win. They're 3-19-1 under Zach Taylor now. It's their fourth loss this season by 5 points or fewer. They lose to the Browns, as we mentioned, by 3, 37-34. Burrow, 35-47 for 406, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 4 times again. Boyd was 11 for 101 and a touchdown. A.J. Green, 7 for 82. 468 total yards of offense for the Bengals. First game in NFL history, the Bengals and the Browns with 5 go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. 5 fourth-quarter touchdowns. Browns went up 24-20 with 13:06 left. Bengals went up 27-24 with 8:38 left. Browns went back up 31-27 with 4:53 left. Bengals went back up 34-31 with 1:06 left. And the Browns went up 37-34 for good with 4 seconds left on a Bayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones 24-yard touchdown pass. 5-play, 75-yard drive, 1:02. Mayfield is better without OBJ, but we feel for OBJ. No problem with that line. Titans minus 5.5 at Cincy. Coming back, numbers game. Todd Wishnev next, right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Every game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Bears-Rams game tonight. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSiN100 to take advantage of the special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Just download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSiN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Bears-Rams game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. It's that simple. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only, please. And as always, please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you are someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one. This is from, let's see here. This is from Mickey Baca. The only thing that turns my frown upside down is Gil calling in the great Todd Wishnev. We have Todd Wishnev, star of the Megapod, right here, the Beating the Book Megapod. Good morning to you, Todd, from his mother's cork attic somewhere in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Toddy?
Yes, that is a fakakta explanation of where I am. Bad job by Gilly. Great job using fakakta. And you didn't even mention Kenley Jansen's always there to fakakta it up at the end, too.
Oh, I did mention that with Paul Sporer. It's just any Dodger fan or better knew when that was happening. It's like, oh, here we go. here we go. And I was going to say, that was a 3-0 count. Somehow the ump let him have two strikes, right? It was one ball, two strikes to Phillips, and he still gave up the what proved to be the shenanigans of a game-winning hit in the end, but errors also obviously aiding and abetting. All right, still 3-2 Dodgers. Todd, love having you here. Issues and grievances. You have
The first thing we have to talk about right off the bat is this new the deal where two coaches actually realized letting the other team score is the best scenario. You've already talked about it in the Atlanta game. Here's something that's akin to that, maybe advanced. It'll take another 8 years until they'll figure this one out. And I'm sure you won't hear many people talking about this, but first and goal from the 10-yard line is different than first and goal from the 4-yard line. I wonder when NFL coaches are going to tell their players or football coaches in general, if you can't make it to the 6, go out of bounds at the 14. Because when you go down at the 10, there's a chart that shows it's much harder to get a touchdown first and goal at the 8, 9, or 10 versus first and goal at the 4 or 5. Now, obviously, that's going to be super advanced, but it's a mathematical kind of thing that's similar to they're finally getting it right in the, you know, with these letting the other team score situations. We're going to get to that point, I'm sure, but it's going to take a long time.
I don't know if I'm sure about that. I don't know if that one will ever happen because that requires athletes to stop exactly what they're doing in the middle. Letting teams score, at least you can sort of see, oh, if you do this, you know, it's a very black and white kind of thing. But what you're talking about is going to require complete change of, you know, plays.
Oh, it's
in the middle.
Super advanced. Yeah. I'm talking about way down the road, way down the road. But it's on the horizon. But okay, anyways, the thing I wanted to talk about most is, you know, me and you, we bet a lot of in-game football games, and you make bets, and you're not like 100% on anything. Obviously, it's betting. Now, in college football, sometimes you see the games lined wrong, oftentimes because there's so many teams, it's hard for them to get the line right in every game. The 49ers-Patriots game was a college football game in that sense yesterday. You're watching this football game 12 minutes in, and you're like, wait a second, something smells different. This is the 49ers from last year, and the Patriots are really not the Patriots anymore, and we haven't fully realized, and it was masked by the fact the Patriots were able to score all those points against Seattle and Vegas early in the season. The Patriots ain't no good. So you had an opportunity to get the Niners at pick 'em minus, I got a minus 140 when they were up 7-3 and driving, and I'm like, this is the only thing I'm kicking myself is why not bet four times what I would usually bet?
Right.
That's my problem.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win kind of thing. The only in-game I made yesterday was Tampa Bay when they were down 7-0. I felt the same way about it. Yours is probably a better example.
Well, it's like you say, the NFL, most games are Plinko. And by the way, it's not a rocket science why that is. The NFL is the tightest line, so yep, you're going to have way more Plinkoization.
Yep.
In college football, you don't have as much Plinkoization because the lines are not as tight. But you still have scenarios that are not Plinkoization. The Washington football team against Dallas,
yeah,
it's not Plinko. And
right,
let me tell you something. Both the last 2 weeks I've been on this because I noticed something late in the Dak injury game. If you watch the Dak injury game, okay, so what were the Cowboys? Horrible defense, great offense. They just go right down the field and somehow are able to keep up with the fact their defense is horrible. When Andy Dalton came in and won that game against the Giants with those two deep passes to Gallup, everyone thought, oh, okay, well, the Dallas is still a great offense. Maybe they won't be as great, but Dalton
and
used to Gallup be a quarterback.
Gallup made ridiculous catches on both of them.
Ridiculous. Absolutely, yeah. Ridiculous. But I was on Dallas on Moneyline in game in that game, and I was sweating because I was realizing, wait a second, something is fundamentally different here. This is not the Dak offense where they just throw it, a guy's wide open, he's running for 800 yards. Something's different. And after I saw the first three drives of the Cardinals game, I was like, I'm right. Dalton is not the answer. And I quickly slammed Arizona. And it was the same thing yesterday in the Redskins game. You watch a little of that game and you're just, wait a second. That wasn't a fluke.
No, you're right.
No, you're good.
Your general point is right. Now, you're right to point that out. They're not all Plinko. Plinko, again, my term applied to sports betting, the old Price is Right game where you take a metal disc or chip, however you want to call it, it bounces down rungs, and then all of a sudden at the end, blah, 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 into a slot. And that's ATS in the NFL for about, and this is your point, for a big percentage of these games. But yes, every week there's a little slice of the pie where the games aren't that. Kansas City yesterday, San Francisco yesterday, Washington yesterday. So your ability to pick out those games is going to go the longest way towards your ultimate success because the rest of them are all Plinko.
And that's why you have to smell it early before it gets away. And then you have to start playing the, is minus 12 too much? Is minus 9 too much? Is there going to be a backdoor touchdown? That's why I'm saying in the Niner game, I noticed it right away. And it's at 7-3. And because the Niners were getting two, remember, folks, the in-game lines are all based on what the pregame line originally was. So they can't just go, wait a second, the Niners look better. Let's make a minus 13, even though they're up only 7-3. They're never going to do that. They're going to say the line was minus 2 before the game. And if you notice it before the rest of the world, you can pound it. And my only mistake is I just keep betting the same on every game because I'm a moron. But that one smelled so delicious to me. I wasn't even worried. You know, I was just like, this is for sure going to win. This is the old Niners, and the Patriots are no good anymore. Sorry, Charlie. You can't win calling trick plays to Edelman 50 times a game. It's just not going
to
happen.
Talking to Todd Wishnev, at T Wishnev on Twitter. All right, let's get to the last of these because I got other games to get to. So let's roll through these.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to talk about the Green Bay, the bad blowout teams and that kind of stuff?
Whatever you got here. Yes, that San Francisco and Green Bay suffer bad blowout losses and snap right back.
Yeah, here's the thing also in the NFL. Remember, one game is like 6% of a season. You have situations where a baseball team has, you know, a great baseball team has a bad 10 games. That's a 6% of the season. Same scenario here. You're going to have situations, unless something fundamentally has changed. You have like cluster injuries on the offensive line, or unless there's some fundamental change, the Packers had a bad game. Actually, had a bad three quarters. They were up 10-0, and then the pick sixes started, and then the entire fundamental of the game changed, but the Packers are still a very good team. So now you better be careful going against the Packers the next week. Same thing with the Niners. The Niners put in Jimmy G a little too early. He wasn't all the way back from injury against Miami. They weren't ready to play. They got spanked. What happens? Kyle Shanahan says, everybody take a deep breath. Let's go back to basics. Let's go back to Jimmy G, run the ball, protect Jimmy G, play good defense. What happens? Spanking. So remember, nobody is as bad as they look on a bad day, and certainly not good teams. And good teams are not that bad.
And nobody's as good as they look necessarily from one week to the next.
Same story.
Yeah.
Same story.
What's this one? Gruden goes for a field goal down 24-17. I got you.
I mean, Gruden just annoys. I like Gruden. Fundamentally, I like him, but he just makes it so hard to like him. It's 24-17. I can't remember exactly how much time was left, but it might have been early fourth quarter, late third quarter. And it's like a fourth and short. And he decides he's going to win this game being down 24-20 instead of 24-17. Come on, John. You got to have a little riverboat Ron in you. You got to try a little bit better. You got to go for a touchdown there. This is Tampa Bay on the other side, and you don't have a defense.
I don't know. I think you're being hard on him. It's 12:48 left in the game. I mean, I get it, but I don't know.
But his team can't stop anybody, Gil.
Oh, it was fourth and one, though. No, I'll give you that. Man, I'm coming to your side. It's fourth and one.
Fourth
at the 17.
And one?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You can't get 1 yard.
All right. Snow doesn't necessarily mean the under. I think that's a good point.
I mean, we've talked about this for ages. I'm sure you've talked about it many, many times. It's the same old thing. And I wake up in the morning and the line's crashing in Kansas City. And I'm like, 46 in Kansas City? Now, I'm not smart enough to go, yeah, maybe I should bet that over, but I am smart enough to watch it in game and go, wait a second, something's wrong here. The snow is not a problem. Wind and rain are problems. A little splintering or sprinkling or whatever you want to call it of snow is not a pandemic.
I think the correct word is plinkoization, I believe, Todd. Last one, because we only have 30 seconds. Patience is a virtue in-game Jacksonville Chargers. What are you talking about there?
Yes, I can't get all my stuff in 12 minutes, Gil. You're going to have to open it up, baby.
Sorry.
Here's the deal. Jacksonville, L.A. Chargers, I'm watching the game. The Jacksonville went three and out the first three times, but I know I've watched too much Jacksonville. They don't play defensive games. Basically, they play these up and down games. Their defense is horrendous. They have a way to scramble around and get some points. You may get an over. I'm keep looking at the over-under at 40. It keeps going down, 43, 42, 41. I'm like, it's a trap. I know it's a trap. Jacksonville can't play a whole game that's like 17-16. Oh, of course it explodes. And of course, as soon as it starts exploding, I jumped on the over. So that was, I wanted to give myself kudos for recognizing something and not trapped.
Self kudos given. You want more of Todd? Okay, Todd, I got it. Run. More of Todd Wishnev on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod every Thursday. Thank you, Todd, from his mother's cork attic somewhere in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Come back. We'll get through the rest of these games. And Jason Weingarten, Politics and Baseball. Numbers Game at Visa and the Sports Betting Network.